Strange times for all of us. No different if you're an administrator. Mark Elliott is on the line with us, athletics director over at Trevecca. Mark, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. I believe when you signed up to be AD, they probably didn't have you a manual of how to handle coronavirus. I'm pretty sure.
No, and there's no courses at the university for that. It's the school of hard knocks. But, you know, Darren, there's a lot of precedent in business for these kinds of things across the board. And so I don't think there's a lot of panic over here. We're sad. We wish we didn't have to do it. We feel really bad for particularly a lot of seniors. And I could be real specific on some of those and give you names of some stories that last a long time here. But still, it's a thing that you just have to live with. Was it the right decision? We really won't know for another month. Probably will we?
Probably not, at least that. So what was the Division II stance? Kind of just take us through and what you guys were talking about. Last week was crazy for everybody, and it changed hourly every 15 minutes at times. So what was it like over on the campus of Trevecca, as I'm sure you guys were constantly meeting? You were probably on the phone a lot. Kind of just take us through last week.
Sure. Thanks for the question and for the opportunity to open this up. We started thinking about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. I couldn't tell you the date. I could go back and look, but our administration had a meeting with everybody over our spring break, which was this past week, was going to go on mission trips. And there was a lot of group trips that were going to Belize, to Jamaica, to Colombia, all over the place. Groups. We had two athletic teams that were doing mission trips during spring break, and there was a general meeting. And at that time, they were basically saying, "Okay, you guys need to make a decision if whether you want to go or not." Fast forward a day or so, and then all of a sudden, it became, "No, we're not going to let you guys make that decision. We need to make that decision for you." So this was happening about 2 weeks ago, as people were trying to determine whether or not they should go on these spring break trips, mission trips to, in some cases, third world countries, et cetera. And so we were thinking about this long before, but never thought it was going to get to this point. Okay, fast forward, we're into our spring break. We have a couple of teams that are on the road. Our baseball team's on the road. Our softball team's on the road. Our track team is on the road. And obviously a lot of fall and winter sports are finished, right? And so at one point, it looked like it was coming on, and we just made the decision, Darren, that we were going to go business as usual. We were having meetings. I'll say maybe not meetings, more like conversations across campus. I called Scott Corley over Belmont and was asking him about it, and, of course, he was busy doing the same thing, right? And we just decided we were going to go on business as normal, but that was before a lot more information came out. I'll say Thursday was the morning that really impacted all of us in that, the SEC tournament had played. Then they made the determination that they were going to play the game, but no fans were going to be allowed to be there. And I think that's when it really struck home to us, and that's when we started kind of bunkering down, saying, okay, this is real, this is important, this is very vital for us to sort of be in the midst of this. No longer can we look at our past decision as being correct because new information has been injected here. Our decisions previously have been rendered irrelevant. So we decided that we would stop playing, and our things, but we would come back in 2 weeks. Move forward with the season. Then the GMAC conference said, we're done for the year. We thought, okay, we're done for the year with GMAC conference events and championships, but we can still play non-conference events because we're still thinking our students are coming back to campus at some point. Fast forward to today, it's shut down for the rest of the year, and it's shut down just about everywhere. I don't know of many places that are going to be open having at least athletic competition, and in some cases not even school face-to-face classes for the rest of the year.
Mark, let's talk. You were an athlete in the SEC. I want you to talk about, because you brought up the kids, and some of these kids may not get another opportunity to do this. Maybe they had their season stripped away, and maybe that's it. I know it's a little bit different. It's not exactly apples to apples, but you lost out on a postseason experience as a player, and I think it's because you guys decided to turn down the bid. So just what was that like for you back then when you were playing?
Yeah, I was bitter. I thought, you know, you know, as a 20-ish year old somebody, seems like ancient history ago, but it was a decision that was made for the right reasons. We didn't think so at the time, and in fact, it wasn't until many years later that I found out more about what went behind that decision. But we were naive enough to think, heck, we don't need a coach, because the coach had been dismissed. We'll go coach ourselves, or we'll find an assistant coach to step into that spot, right? So I was bitter, but it was many years later that we found out, you know, that was probably the right thing to do. Doesn't make it easier, but at least you know and have an understanding of why the decision was made. I think that's what's going on now. I think if we were unilaterally making that call, Darren, there would be a lot of athletes that would be very disappointed and be mad at us. Because it's so widespread and everybody's making the same decision, I think there's a greater understanding now. It doesn't make it any easier, but it does it does make it more palatable for the athletes. I don't think there's going to be anybody who's an athlete at Trevecca who's mad, bitter, upset, only in the short term. Now, in the long term, you know, if they never get a chance to go to postseason tournament, but, you know, the NCAA has come back and given another year of eligibility to anybody who wants it. There's just an awful lot of seniors who at some point they think, you know, okay, I've had my time, I'm going to go on, I'm going to get into business, I'm going to go to grad school, whatever. But the NCAA has done about as much as they can to mitigate the circumstances.
Coach Mark Elliott is on the line. I call him Coach. He's the athletic director at Trevecca. He was my assistant coach at Vanderbilt basketball. He just referred. He was a basketball and baseball excellent player back in the day at Vanderbilt. Coach, you just talked about what the NCAA has tossed out there to seniors who feel like, okay, spring sports, we didn't play much of our season. We're going to give them a chance to come back. The logistics of that, I'm sure you guys have the wheels turning already on how that would work. I'm sure it's not easy. So what have the discussions been like, and how easy will this, how tough will this be to pull off?
Well, first of all, Willie, it's really good to talk, because you and I are in a fraternity of very, very few people of playing basketball and baseball.
That's right.
Together, right? So, yeah, you're always special to me. you know, this is going to be really difficult. It's an easy decision for the NCAA, for us, for everybody to say, we're going to give you another year of eligibility left. Uh-oh, what does that completely mean? They still don't know, and they're giving themselves, the NCAA Administrative Committee I'm speaking to now, they're giving themselves until April 15th to figure it out. You know, here's one example of what I'm trying to say. Golf, men's and women's golf, their championship season, in other words, when they compete for the championship, is in the spring. And yet, because of the nature of golf, it's a fall and a spring sport. So you get regional rankings by playing in the fall, but you don't really play your championship conference nor NCAA until the spring. Well, they're going to give you your spring semester back, but in Division II, you have 10 full-time semesters in order to complete your eligibility. Are they going to give golf back 2 semesters of eligibility? In softball, in baseball, this is way easier, because all you have to do is give them 1 year of eligibility back. This is going to complicate eligibility. It's going to complicate amateurism. It's going to complicate progress towards degree decisions all across the board. So a long-winded answer to your question, Willie, is they have said, yes, we know philosophically we're going to give these seniors and everybody an additional year of eligibility, but does that mean 2 semesters, et cetera, right? So, like I said, they're giving themselves until April 15th to try to figure this out, how they can – all the ancillary rules that are going to have to be participating in this decision across the board, they're going to give themselves some time to figure it out.
You know, I think about leadership a lot during these times, Coach E, and, you know, you said something that really resonated with me when you were talking about your students – that were planning on going overseas, and you said it went from a point to, we recommend, to, we got to make this decision for you. So that's got to be a lot of weight on the leadership of you and your school when you make these tough decisions. But that's really what a lot of leaders across our country are dealing with, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'll give you maybe a synopsis, executive summary of what happened in that meeting. A couple of our coaches, Kelsey Phoenix, our women's soccer coach Danny Levy, our men's soccer coach, were in that meeting getting ready to lead mission trips overseas, and they were in that meeting, and they kind of looked at me and said, don't think we need to be able have to make that decision whether or not we're going to go or not. And I mean, think about this. There's people who have raised money, who've asked other people for money, who have given to a mission trip fund, given to the university, not to the individual students, right? And that's what was expected from this money. Now, all of a sudden, you've got flights that have to be canceled. You've got reservation things, you know, all kinds of, you can imagine what's going on here. And now, all of a sudden, they have to make the decision to stop this. And I just laid it down on the table to the administrative council who was there, saying, this is not a coach's decision. This has to be made at a university-level decision. They accepted that responsibility, and then they made it for us. And it was the right thing to do because it wasn't just a couple of athletic teams who were going on mission trips. It was the business department. It was the music department. It was all kinds of people across the campus who were in the same boat. So, yeah, responsibility. I don't know. I wrote to our athletes. I don't know that we'll ever fully in totality understand the weight and the pressure that's on the administrative council and the cabinet, in particular our president, Dr. Boone, at this time. But it's pretty significant, the pressure and the weight that's on them.
On a little bit of a lighter note, you as a Vanderbilt alum, and I know you're close to this because of the coach that you hired, but we saw that Grand Canyon has hired Bryce Drew to be the men's basketball coach. What do you know about Grand Canyon? It's good news for Coach Drew, though.
It is. It's fantastic news. I knew a little bit about it through my relationship with Mike Hamilton, the former athletic director at University of Tennessee, who was considering being the athletic director there a couple of years ago. So he knows a lot about it. This is an all-online campus, a phenomenal campus, great facilities, fastest-growing university probably in the country. They've got amazing dorms. Everybody is still on campus. They're online. Now, some of this may have changed over the last couple of years, and yet it's a premier job that I wouldn't be surprised seeing the Pac-12 at some point very soon.
Wow.
It's a significant job, and it's a great job for Bryce. Dan Marley has been there. He was one of my heroes back in the day, right? He's been there for a long time. Phenomenal facilities, phenomenal climate, phenomenal place to live. I think this is fantastic for Bryce, and I'm really happy for he and Tara and the family. And, you know, haven't spoken with all of the people that could potentially be in his corner on his staff, but it strikes pretty close to home, doesn't it?
It sure does. I mean, all the guys that, you know, Casey Shaw, for those who don't know, his brother-in-law, who is an assistant coach, I mean, they've had their family here even since they haven't been coaching. So I don't know if, like you said, Coach, I just saw this for the first time. I don't know who he's taking with, but I'm just really glad that he's got another opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. I am too. I think he's going to do a great job out there. I'm happy for him. And, you know, Willie, it's what I said. Sometimes it's a slow day when you have to call a Division II athletic director on the sports side of things. But and so I text you real fast about, hey, if you need to talk about Bryce Drew, that's a huge story. It is a really important story to Nashville, I think. And if you needed to back me up, then, hey, take that information and run with it. But I'm happy to talk about Bryce Drew. He's a good friend, and I think he's a fantastic coach.
Mark Elliott is with us, Trevecca's athletic director. So as this process all moves forward, you know, I try and look at things of anything that happens. You can learn from it. You can grow from it. And this is unprecedented in all the changes and the cancellations and things that we're going through. What are some things that you think that you guys can look at of, okay, maybe we can do this a little differently because we've had to change things up?
Wow, that's you hit the nail on the head, Chase. I'm thinking with all of our coaches who we have just kind of made the decision, and I don't feel bad stating this. You know, we're putting a spending freeze on the entire campus because at this point you really don't know how this is going to flush out financially for the university, right? So we want to be very careful about that. We're not in trouble, but at the same time, we're just trying to be prudent, and I'm doing that with the athletic department. You know, we need to replace the money that we were going to spend on trips and things like that to our seniors, to our ball teams, to our participants, coaches, athletes, everybody, with something that's specific to them, that can make them feel like they've been valued, cherished, honored by this community. So we're looking at things like that. Now, we're face-to-face meetings with our coaches. We've told them to go home and work from home. Now, we're gonna investigate a lot of delivery systems by how we Zoom or how we WebEx or how we GoToMeeting, you know, to try to do video conferencing. But we're still going to try to do the things that you're supposed to do, the social distancing and all that kind of stuff, to keep this coronavirus thing down. But, no, we're thinking very – and at what we have to do this in order to be able to look at those people who are hearing my voice today, who are thinking about, I'm a high school senior, I want to go someplace to school, who's going to care about me? Those are super important things for us to think about, and we'll be able to make decisions here locally that will affect people in the future, because they'll say, I want to go to that place because they value me. So, Chase, your question is very well thought out. I'm not going to give all the things that we're thinking right now, because there's so much that's just on the drawing board, right, as to how we're going to cherish, honor, and do something for our athletes in this case, in this time that's very unprecedented. Still abiding by NCAA rules, you can't give them a Rolex watch or a car, but by golly, we can do something to make them feel valued.
Well, and trying to look at the glass half full, I mean, you know, you just brought it up with Zoom and other technologies that you have. At least, you know, now in 2020, you know, kids can take online classes and be able to still communicate even from a remote setting. And I think that's pretty cool that they're able to do that.
Wow. Can you imagine, hey, Will, back in our day when we were working together, can you imagine if this would have happened? We had just started, you know, the beepers, right? I remember,
right.
I got a beeper that your I think it was your freshman or sophomore year, and you guys were trying to, you know, put little phrases on the beeper that were kind of, you know, beeper humor, and I was like, I had no idea what you were talking about. But, you know, that was the technology back then. We were just getting fax machines back then. I remember back in your day, Willie, we were actually by mail sending pregame meal menus to Starkville, Mississippi, right? By mail. That's how we communicated what kind of menu we wanted for pregame meal.
Wow.
It's amazing today where we are.
How much extra time do you think you would be able to save putting together the edit tapes, the scouting tapes that you used to do, or, you know, or going back through our games and grading the tape like you and the staff would do? I mean, how much more efficient is that now than it was back then? It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. And to be honest with you, there's been spinoff businesses that do that for you now. We don't even have to do that anymore. Our coaches now have a service that says, I want all the offensive clips from the team that I'm just getting ready to send you a video from, right? I want all the offensive clips that, you know, run a high post offense or whatever they might do on offense. This is basketball specifically now. And boom, the service does it for you. I mean, you just click a button anymore. You set the parameters, you click a button, and it does it for you. How much time? Boy, I can remember slaving over videotape after videotape after videotape. I learned an awful lot of basketball, and I think some of these assistant coaches are not learning as much basketball because they're not scouring those tapes by hours and hours and hours trying to pick out-of-bounds plays and try to pick up different issues with, you know, idiosyncrasies of players and things like that. But the technology is amazing, and we could have saved a lot of time. And, I could have known my kids and my wife a lot better if I'd had some of that technology with me then.
We can relate. We have a service that sends us a four-hour script every day, and we just read from it for 4 hours. So,
you know,
it's
I had all
cool.
That show prep. I thought that was all show
nope.
prep, guys.
Nope, we just read from a script. It's a service that does it for us. Hope we're doing a good job, or actually they're doing a good job. Mark, appreciate the visit as always. It's a strange times. We'll check in with you down the road, though. Appreciate you coming on.
Feel free to do so. Thank you for including us in this tape today.
All right, Mark. Thank you. Mark Elliott over at Trevecca, the athletics director, former SEC athlete, as you just heard. Who was the better basketball/baseball player, you or Mark?
Him, by far. By far.
Not even close.
Not even close. Now, we both got... He got a little further than I did in the minor leagues. But it was, if you look at his stats, there's no comparison. He was a really, the only thing I had on him is I pitched as well as played in the field, where he played in the field, but he got drafted by the Mets. But if you look at his stats, he was legit a really, really good basketball player on some good teams. He played with Charles Davis, you know, and some teams. Like back in the day, back when he played, it was before 64 teams went to the tournament. If they did, back then, I think Vanderbilt would have gone a bunch of times while he was playing. So even back then, making the NIT was an accomplishment.
He was
a much bigger thing. Making
late
the
70s?
NIT. Late 70s to the early 80s. I want to say like 77 to 81, somewhere in there. He played on an SEC baseball championship. That's, you know, the only one. Well, not the only one. Larry Schmidt had a couple in the early 70s, but between about 1974 and the Tim Corbin era, there was one team that won it. It was 1980, and he was a part of that team.
We appreciate Mark joining us. When we come back, Tom Brady has informed the Patriots he will not be back. We'll discuss on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.